In any part of life, one of the great challenges for us is to truly know how to establish spiritual priorities in our life and to live by them. We live in a very fast-paced world, very different from the world that I started in as far as the ministry is concerned. We have to consider a number of things that we didn't even have to consider then. And as a result, time seems to be such a pressure in the day and age in which we live. Years ago, there was a cartoon in the New Yorker depicting an American couple dashing up the steps of the Louvre in Paris shouting, "Where's the Mona Lisa? We're double parked." And that just speaks to the American mentality. In and out, fast. We're in a hurry. Schedule is our master. The clock and all the pressures, we're uptight. And we have a lot of distractions in our world. On the other side, we do know that time needs to be spent properly. Benjamin Franklin and Poor Richard's Almanac mused, "Don't squander time, for that's the stuff life's made of." And as you know, various proverbs and maxims have spoken of time as impossible to recall or to retrieve. And we should treasure every moment of time, every second. We have few precious days to accomplish His work. Turn with me just as a starting place to Psalm 90. Psalm 90. This is not a psalm by David, but of Moses. Very interesting. God certainly used him in a mighty way. A very familiar verse I want to start with here, just setting the groundwork for our time here in these last minutes here this morning. Psalm 90, verse 12. "So teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." It is very important that we do what it takes by the grace of God to get in control of our time, the most precious quantity we have, other than just life itself, and they're both tied together. I alluded to this in my introduction, but this thesis for today I've said often in many different groups that I've taught, but it's something that's hard for us fully to actually believe. And that is, there is always enough time to do the will of God. There is always enough time to do the will of God. And that is an absolute truth if we're walking with God. But we have to make decisions. Remember, God is the God of eternity. God is the God of time. He is able to work in and through time, and He knows how to take our lives. He understands who we are. He understands our strengths and weaknesses. He knows what we can do, what we cannot do. And if we are following Him and we're biblical, the Spirit of God is leading, we honestly will have enough time to do the will of God. There's nothing more satisfying than finishing a day and knowing that you completed what God called you to do and that you've done the important things in your life. In fact, the opposite of that is what we call anxiety. And that's point number one here, very simply this morning, the problem of anxiety. Anxiety is the stress of not getting the important things done in life accomplished. The stress of not getting the important things in life accomplished. Now, folks, you can do all kinds of things, and I can do all kinds of things through the day and finish my day very much filled with anxiety, not having accomplished what really needed to be accomplished. Have you ever had a day where all you did was stuff? You know, just stuff. And you realize, what did I do? Yeah, I did this, but I didn't really accomplish that which I know down deep was the will of God for me. Very first thing my dad did for me when I came to work for him in the ministry there in Chicago before I came here, he gave me a little pocket-sized book named The Tyranny of the Urgent by Hummel. And that little book was one of the greatest gifts he could give to me to teach me to evaluate the awful tyranny that the urgent things in life, but not the important things, can have over me, and how I can miss the will of God each day if I do not get in control of the use of my time. Hummel says, have you ever wished for a 30-hour day? Actually, I never have. 24 is enough. But anyway, have you ever wished for a 30-hour day? Surely this extra time would relieve the tremendous pressure under which we live. Our lives leave a trail of unfinished tasks. Unanswered letters, unvisited friends, unwritten articles, and unread books haunt quiet moments when we stop to evaluate. We desperately need relief. Heard this story a long time ago. A businessman was in an old river town in Pennsylvania, and it's back before they had a bridge across, and he had two very important appointments, one on one side of the river, one on the other. The ferry would leave exactly the hour and a half hour, and so he had it all timed perfectly. And so he had his first appointment. It was way up the hill, and it went a little longer than he had hoped. And so he finally got out, and he saw the ferry a few feet from the edge as he was running down the hill in his three-piece suit. But he was going to make it. He had to get to this very, very important appointment. So he jumps off the dock, slides on the deck there, right to the captain's feet. And the captain looks at him and said, sir, what are you doing? Well, he explained that I got a meeting. I had to get onto the boat before it got too far away. And he says, sir, I'm just coming in. And that's sort of where a lot of times we live. And we live in that pressure of all the things that we need to do. And that's sort of modern life. But we don't need to have anxiety, and we need to be able to make decisions that will allow the Spirit of God to use our life. John Wesley makes a shocking statement, I would no more worry than curse or swear. Now think about that. But he's absolutely right. The Bible says, be careful, be anxious for nothing. We'll look at that verse in a minute. So first of all here, the danger will lead to depression and fear. Anxiety does not just stay as anxiety. We are living in a culture of people with debilitating depression and oftentimes irrational fears. Men have a tendency more toward depression. Women have more of a tendency toward fears. It doesn't always hold, but that oftentimes is the case. What happens is when we allow anxiety to continue on, our body cannot handle that kind of pressure. And there's sort of a little switch that goes on sometimes, and we just sort of go into ourselves and escape into depression. Sometimes, by the way, you can escape into habits that are distracting, amusements and chemical alterations and so forth. That's why technology is so dangerous. It is an escape from anxiety. And so we just naturally know that we can only handle so much anxiety. But the escaping into depression, the escaping into habits, the escaping into fears that are irrational, just focusing on that instead of all the pressure that we're under, is not going to solve the problem. All it does is add to the anxiety getting worse and worse and worse. So the key is to solve the anxiety by the grace of God. That is the key. We have to understand that every day is an important day, and it's a day that God has made, and that God will give grace to be able to evaluate that day in light of all that we need to do, and will give us an understanding of what we can do and what we cannot do. Robert G. Lee, the great preacher, said, if you had a bank that credited your account each morning with $86,400 that carried no balance from day to day, allowed you to keep no cash in your account, and finally every evening canceled whatever part of the amount you had failed to use during the day, what would you do? Well, you'd draw it down every day. I can tell you right now, that'd be you would use every bit of it. And every night, Same thing happens. That's how many seconds we have in a day. Now, you and I know that. That's where the pressure is. We know that clock is ticking. And we realize there's so much that we are supposed to do. And we can easily get depressed. And if we do allow anxiety to rule us, folks, it will cause a wrong spirit that God cannot bless. A lot of people are living with pressure and make decisions based upon pressure, and we become possessed with our own pressures, not resting in the Lord. We need extended time with the Lord. It's vital. Folks, one of the keys, and the really bottom line key here of everything I'm saying is God is able to control the time. He is able to give wisdom for the time. He is able to meet the need of our heart. He is able to give us rest in our souls. So we need to meet with him first. You go and I go marching into a day without having our soul resting in the Lord, without the Word of God enriching us, without getting his perspective, without getting his direction. We're just asking for anxiety. We're asking for emptiness. We're asking for frustration. And so we've got to realize that God will not bless a wrong spirit. I'll tell you why we get grouchy, frustrated. It's because of anxiety. People get in our way, but the problem is we don't have our life under control. And as D. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, unhappy Christians are, to say the least, a poor recommendation for the Christian faith. You know, many times on the job, Christians don't have the best attitude and they live irritated and frustrated. It's because we are filled with that anxiety. And it hinders spiritual growth in relationships. This is why we have to get this under control. If we are filled with anxiety, wrong priorities, and the urgent choke out the key things that matter. Time for relationships, that has to be planned. Time for that which is important with God. Time important in ministering to others. Time for your own self edification and growth so that you can be a blessing to others. And all the things that are critical, so often we just allow. So what happens is, folks, a lot of things that we're supposed to do aren't getting done, and we just get under this pressure. You ask somebody that's filled with anxiety what's the problem, and they can't really remember. All they know is they're under anxiety. You know, they got all kinds of stuff they haven't done, and there's just that pressure that sets in, and it's tragic that just, you know, a dad's too busy to be with his boy. A person's too busy to be with somebody else, and yet we're not. It's just that anxiety just paralyzes us from doing the things that we ought to do. And if we're feeling down, it doesn't take much to get us further down. I couldn't resist giving this incident. There was an awful afternoon in the 1950s. The Yankee superstar, Mickey Mantle, we still all know that name. He struck out 3 times in a row. I mean, that was absolutely unbelievable for Mickey Mantle. He was badly depressed. He allowed himself to get depressed. He got back to the clubhouse. He said, I just sat down on my stool, held my head in my hands like I was going to start crying. Then I heard someone come up to me, and it was little Tommy Barra, Yogi's boy, standing there next to me. He tapped me on the knee, nice and soft, and I figured he was going to say something nice to me like, "You keep hanging in there," or something like that. But all he did was look at me and then said in this little kid's voice, "You stink." Ever had that kind of day? You know, it's already bad and then you get kicked, you know. And I figure, get it all done in one day. I figured, all right, let's just get all the bad stuff. Let's just let it all hit in one day and we'll go on to the next one. But no, really, though, what happens is we have things like just a discouragement hit us. And if we already are discouraged, we don't handle it right. And oftentimes we don't react right. Now we need, number two, victory over anxiety. This is absolutely vital because we can't live in discouragement. We can't live in anxiety that's paralyzing us. We have got to be on the victory side if we're going to be effective for the Lord. Back to the book, Tyranny of the Urgent, Hummel says, when we stop to evaluate, we realize that our dilemma goes deeper than shortage of time. It is basically, now get this, the problem of priorities. Hard work does not hurt us. We all know what it is to go full speed for hours, totally involved in an important task. The resulting weariness is matched by a sense of achievement and joy. Don't you love to get something done? You know what you're supposed to do. It's the right priority. Man, it's exhilarating, even if it's really wearing. The resulting weariness, as I said, is matched by a sense of achievement and joy. Not hard work, but doubt and misgiving produce anxiety as we review a month or year and become oppressed by the pile of unfinished tasks. We sense uneasily that we may have failed to do, and here's the word underlined, the important. The winds of other people's demands have driven us onto a reef of frustration. So here's really the heart of all this. We've got to identify the important over the urgent. Going on in that book, we live in a constant tension between the urgent and the important. The problem is that the important task rarely must be done today or even this week. Extra hours of prayer and Bible study, a visit with that non-Christian friend, careful study of an important book. These projects can wait, but the urgent tasks call for instant action. Endless demands pressure every hour and day. So folks, anxiety comes when we make wrong choices to allow the urgent that's not important to dominate and take away valuable time, and we let the important things that we know are critical, we leave those tasks undone. The time in a relationship, the important study for something, a project that needs to get done, time with God on a regular basis, getting out and telling the gospel and giving ourselves to ministering to others. These things we down deep know, but we allow all of the different distractions and little urgent demands to take away the first priorities, and we live under pressure because we know our lives are not in line with what God really has called us to do. Can you track with me on this? Anybody have the same kind of issue? So the key is the urgent must not dominate over the important. So we have to give priority to the important over the urgent. There are some things in life that are urgent and important. I mean, you got to go to work. That's urgent and important. Sometimes there's an emergency. That's urgent and important. Sometimes there's a crisis in a relationship. That's urgent and important. But urgent and important should only take up about 10, 15, 20% of the decisions you make. Obviously, going to work is a big deal on a regular basis. When you graph out the decisions that you make, that just should be settled and should be part of your life. Oftentimes, we think procrastination causes us to have urgent and important when it didn't need to be that way. Right. Students, okay. You all get into what we call quadrant one, often when you didn't need to, okay. You didn't get the paper done till the night before, and other things that were important can't be done because what is really important and what is really urgent and important at that moment is getting that paper done. But if that paper had gotten done earlier, all right. So procrastination, and by the way, did you know procrastination can cause other people to be thrown into that dilemma because you didn't get done for them what you needed to get done for them? And that's a whole nother point. But the big problem is allowing the urgent but not important things to dominate our lives. And there's all kind of things. And folks, we live in the day of the urgent and not important. The beep of the text, the email, the phone call, the quick habit of having to search this and search that. The technology has become a master for us. In fact, it is a habit that is there, even if there's no ding, because there's that need to have that dopamine hit of seeing if somebody cares enough about you to write you, or see if there's something good about to happen. And the time that it takes to check, to listen, to do what you have to do without being in control of your life, you continue to lose time, and you lose focus, and you lose the ability to accomplish the things that need to be accomplished. There are other things, too, where you can have people interrupt in a situation. You want to always put people first, but there are ways that you can handle getting the first priority done and work on that. And there's just the little things that you like to do along the way of life, and you let yourself distract. Well, I really need that next cup of coffee. Well, that took another 15 minutes to do that. I'm sorry, I always get on coffee somehow. But anyway, I'm not talking about coffee. I'm just saying the time to take to get it. Or maybe that, other thing that you were going to do. But we allow the urgent to overcome the important. And that has got to be controlled by the Spirit of God. So we've got to give priority to the important over the urgent. I mentioned about technology. There is a real addiction with it, folks. Let me just quickly, I don't have time to say much about this. Dr. Nicholas Kadaris said in his study, Technoference, and talking about parents and with their children, how parent distraction with technology found that daily intrusions by technology devices in the parent-child relationship were linked to anxiety, depression, hyperactivity, disruptive behavior in children. And there's just that constant pressure that is there. And in fact, it has been proven now that video games and other technology types of things like that are harder to break than breaking heroin. That is an amazing thing. Another quote here, we now know that those iPads, smartphones, Xboxes are a form of digital drug. Recent brain imaging research is showing that they affect the brain's frontal cortex, which controls executive functioning, including impulse control, in exactly the same way that cocaine does. Technology is so hyper-arousing that it raises dopamine levels. The feel-good neurotransmitter most involved is the addiction dynamic. And so I have to deal with this because, folks, if you're going to start planning and start prioritizing your life, you have to make some pretty tough decisions right off the bat. Obviously, we have to use technology. We have phones. But when you think about it, most of what we do with our phones and with our iPads, etc., are not necessarily on the important side. Yes, there's business. That's important. But that should be controlled. Think about how much business gets interrupted by non-important things while you're on the computer or the iPad. Be very careful. Don't have devotions with your iPad. If you have your texts and all open, there's just decisions that you have to make because time is so valuable, and then there's that frustration and anxiety that can come. And so many people stay up too late with technology. They go to bed too late. They get up later, not able to have solid time with the Lord, and the whole day just continually is whatever distracts you and basically getting things done and having that anxiety. So I could say much, much more, but we need to, thirdly here, commit to regular planning. And folks, you need to take reflection. That's why you got to have time with the Lord each day, and you got to regularly sit down and talk about the key things that are causing pressure in your life. I'm not spending enough time with my spouse. I'm not spending enough time with my children. I'm certainly not giving of myself to reaching people with the gospel. I'm not in the Word of God. I'm not studying it like God convicted me to do a couple of months ago. I'm not helping others like I should. I'm not getting projects done that need to be done. And if you will write those goals down under the leadership of the Lord and be very specific about them, you can break those down into monthly goals that are legitimate over a month to be able to accomplish God's will in regard to those relationships, projects, and your walk with God, all of those things. And then if you do that, and this doesn't have to be complicated, you don't have to be a super organized person for this, then you can then on a weekly basis, just look at your monthly planning and decide what parts of those you're going to do, what day you're going to do it, and then determine by the grace of God that that is going to be done before any other distractions stop you from doing it. And you'll be amazed. Simple planning and a commitment to it, getting rid of unnecessary distractions, and not letting yourself impulse do things, but be on just steadily going with God's help, you'll be amazed what God will do in bringing peace to your life and the effectiveness that can come. Ephesians 5:15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of God is. And that leads now to the final major point, the development of spiritual balance. You've got to know the will of God. I said, there is always enough time to do the will of God. What's the key to that statement? Know the will of God. Know the will of God when it comes to your personal time with Him. Know the will of God when it comes to your relationships. Know what the will of God is when it comes to ministry and fulfilling the Great Commission. Things to be successful and appropriate in your business and other aspects of your life. Know the will of God. Understand the will of God. Spend time with the Lord so that you can get those things clearly seen in your heart and mind. And that means you've got to surrender to God's will in your life. And God will bless always those who have a heart to do His will. Now, any believer that has a heart for God wants to do the will of God, and they're just all in turmoil because they're not accomplishing what they should accomplish. And they're letting the urgent overcome the important. And when we regularly say, Lord, Thy will be done, and you look at what God's will is and determine these things have got to be the most important things. Therefore, I've got a control technology over here. I've got to control some of these things I'm doing. I've got some habits here that are wasting time. And you make a covenant with the Lord, deal with those things, and then ask God to give you a priority, what needs to be done each day. Do you think God will help you do that? He will enable you to do it. Oh, we quote this often. These are the verses that was burned into my heart when my dad did a series on them years ago. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There it is. You got to be a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world. Don't let all the things that the world does conform you to its priorities. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be in fellowship with God. Let the Word of God's priorities dominate. Let God work in your heart. Be committed to what God's called you to do. And that ye may do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And I'm telling you, folks, God won't let you down. There are so many areas in our life we say, Lord, I need help. Well, this is one area He will help you. He is the God of time. He wants your life to be able to count for Him. What does a man profit if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Reject wrong thinking about priorities. Just note, what are selfish priorities? William Barclay, the commentator, described a woman named Edith who lived in a little world bounded on the north, south, east, and west by Edith. And there's a lot more selfishness in our lives than we know. A lot of things we do need to be given back to the Lord. We need to allow Christ's mind to be formed in us. Allow the Spirit of God to control all areas of your life. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What does temperance mean? Self-control. The Spirit of God will control your habits, your yielding to the urgent, looking, doing things that are not high priority. God can change all of this. Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and praise the Lord, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And make the duties of your life, finally here, support God's will. Do you think God wants you to have a great impact on the fulfillment of his ministry here in this world? That's priority. Do you think God wants your family to serve God and to see victories in your family? Absolutely. Do you think God wants you to be a testimony on your job and to do it well? Absolutely. In fact, we are commanded to do that. And above all, do you think it's God's will to know you and for you to know him? I'm telling you, folks, anxiety comes so much from our letting other things take away the time to spend an extended time with him. That's where the rest in the soul comes. That's where the wisdom comes. That's where the confidence that you can make the right decision. That's where the direction comes for the things that God wants to be done. I'll finish with this. We all know about J.C. Penney. He was a Bible-believing Baptist man, had been brought up under his father's ministry. But his whole enterprise crashed during the Great Depression, and he allowed himself to get under great anxiety and to just be tossed around by all of those circumstances. And one night he really got depressed. And he realized that this was far worse than what was happening in his business. And he was actually in the hospital because he was so physically wasted. And he happened to go to a little hospital chapel, and he heard the words being sung, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you." And it hit him. What am I doing? I'm Mr. J.C. Penney. I've done all these great things. Now things are out of control. And he realized, I need to get right in the center of God's will, do what God wants me to do, walk with him first every minute of my life. And from that point on, he gave his life to the Lord, ordered it around the priorities of serving the Lord, and then God blessed him, even in his business, and we know about it today. Friends, God has enough time for you to do the important things. I do want to encourage you, when you leave the service today, ask yourself about the tyranny of the urgent. What things need to go? What habits do you have? What barriers need to go up so that you're not pulled by technology? What things are the most important that God wants you to do? Are you in the will of God? Friends, God will not let you down. He will help you with all of these questions and directions if your commitment is to truly accomplish the will of God.